This is KWAI, Honolulu, 1080 on the AM dial.
You had no clue that I was loving you. You say, hey, your love ain't shining through. But you know me, I love you more. More than you ever knew. I love you more. This you know it's true. Ooh, 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 ah. Ah, 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 ooh, ah, ah, ah. This heart won't lie, look into my eyes. Oh baby, I love you more than you ever knew. I love you more, this you know it's true. I love you more, baby, more than you ever knew. I love you more. This you know it's true.
Hey, good morning and welcome to the Carol Cox Show. That was a friend, Mr. Robert Parks, who lives out there in Waianae. And Robert's been on the show, and he put all of that together, and sounds good. And Robert, good morning. How are you? How are you today?
I'm fine. Good morning, Carl.
Well, how did that play? How did that guy sound?
Oh, it sounds just like a song I want to pay for my lady.
Okay. Now, the question is, would you buy that song?
Me, myself?
Yeah.
Of course.
All right. Well, anyway, real quickly, that was, and the title of that song is, you appropriately named it.
Cheryl, Love Me More.
Love Me More.
No, Love You.
Love You More.
Yes.
So anyway, real quickly, you do live performances at parties and weddings and what have you, and I want to give a plug for you out there. How at 484-0103.
Correct.
And if someone hires you and take you up to play for them, there's a little deal that you have there.
Yes, that's got to do with Cochitos, Latin cuisine.
Mm-hmm.
Restaurant out here in Waianae. If they show me a receipt from there, I'll give them 20% off my original prices for hourly, 2 hour performances.
Okay. Well, I enjoyed the food out there. It's Puerto Rican, actually.
Yeah.
Coquito's Latin Cuisine in 85773 Farrington Highway in Waianae. Near the across the street from the McDonald's, we not advertising for McDonald's, but it's as we do in the South, you know, Bobby. The we say by the big tree or by the by a certain business. But anyway, that's good music. So thank you, and we'll play it again.
All right, thank you.
Aloha.
Aloha. Thank you, Carl. Bye.
All righty. Bye.
It's time for the Carol Cox Show right here at K108. If you have questions or comments for Carol, our number here is 524-1080, 524-1080. And now, here's Carol.
All right. Good morning again, and welcome to the Carol Cox Show. I have a big, hefty topic today that I was it's always dear to me, and we're going to be talking about, we start off calling it homelessness, but today we're going to focus on many things. I'm supposed to have a couple of guests in, and they may call in, but I have right now one guest in that is one of the residents who is unfortunately having to stay there downtown Kaka'ako, and it's just not nice, folks, and I invited her in, and quite naturally, there's a great degree of embarrassment and just shamefulness. Not the individual isn't shameful. It's what is happening, being beaten down. And for those of you that I'll leave a special line open for you that want to call up and tell that everybody there is drug addicts and they're losers and all. So I'm going to leave that line open for that special ilk of people, and we'll understand. Just hopefully that the bug doesn't come your way and bite you, and unfortunate or some fate fall on you that is not good, like many of these that have. But I've been down there with Jeff and Jeff Davis. We know him as a solo guy here at KWAI, but he has a show over at 760 KGU AM on the dial, and he airs it at 5 to 6 p.m. And it's called Hawaii's Tomorrow. So Jeff has this approach, and we need a multi-pronged effort in the combating and reducing the hardships of homelessness and trying to stamp it out, which is in an economic-driven or money-driven society, it's going to be hard to declare that there will be no homeless or there will never be homeless, because there are various reasons, hundreds and hundreds of reasons why. So, but we're going to have an honest discussion this morning, and 524-1080 is the number, and I'm going to welcome my guests, and we're not trying to hide anything, but just in, I want to get the complete facts as they are, and Jeff has this program that he started, Celebrities Sleep In, and myself and Attorney Jan Weinberg spent one night down on the streets in the tents there, just to get a feel and understand and walk and talk with the people what is happening. And so there are other attorneys involved. And so Jeff has this program, and July 1st he wants to hold something at the state capitol. And Tom Barham is quite active in this, and Tom wants to initiate, he's a state representative, he wants to initiate some kind of action there at the state capitol. So call his office and call KGU to the Hawaii's Tomorrow at 5 to 6 and talk to Jeff, or look for the solar guy. Anyway, I'm going to welcome my guests here, and thank you so much for joining me. And let's talk about what's happening down there. Okay. It was an eye-opener.
Okay.
And I asked the mayor that if he could come to meet with us.
Uh-huh.
And
got it. Okay.
And we asked the mayor to come in. Well, you know, we're just too small for him, and we don't have pockets of money, and we're not the PRP people, you know. And that was lovely reading that, how the PRP and Kaitana, that whole debacle or whole issue. And Jeremy is a guy, the innocent guy who benefits all the sun rays that shine the way. But as my stepfather used to say so quickly, the sun shines in every dog's acoli once in a while. So, you know. And so Jeremy, while you are, not Jeremy, but Kirk, while you're benefiting from the fallout from this, I believe your hands are dirty, too, in that. But it's okay. You got the rail, and things will happen. But I want to read you something that, instead of coming on the show, this is what they wrote. The following statement is from the Department of Facilities Maintenance Director Ross Sasamura. The city, I quote, the city and county of Honolulu presently enforces ordinances relating to stored property and sidewalk nuisances. Attached are excerpts from Chapter 29 of the revised ordinance of Honolulu, as well as the bills which were enacted to create respective ordinances. Article 16 relates to nuisances on public sidewalks and was enacted on April 19, 2013, while Article 19 relating to stored property was enacted on December 9, 2011. Upon enforcing Article 16 of Chapter 29, Revised Ordinances of Honolulu, the Department of Facility Maintenance establishes a government operations zone marked off by barrier tape and provides a warning that sidewalk nuisance must be removed immediately or will be impounded, and that life necessities should be taken by the person who owns the sidewalk nuisance. Please let me know if you need further assistance. So, if you would tell us about this government operation zone.
Yeah.
What is this government operation zone? This is a lady that actually lives there along the street
Kakaako,
side of
Kakaako. Right. Well, for one thing, they come at any hour that they please, and you're always kind of expecting them to come, you know, in the wee hours of the morning or whatever. Mm-hmm. And so you kind of always have, you're ready, trying to have your things together so you can get them and grab them and run. But they jump out of their trucks, they get on a loudspeaker and say, this is a sweep. You need to evacuate the area, grab your ID and your medication, and you're not allowed to take anything else. And they jump out and start wrapping this tape around our things. And, just give you a few minutes, not even a few minutes, a few seconds to get out of the red tape area or you'll be arrested. And they have the police there standing by waiting to have to do that if anybody gets out of line. And they literally wrap up your stuff and then they start bringing these trucks and they start loading your stuff up.
Mm-hmm.
And you lose it.
Mm-hmm. So they quickly title it government operation zone. Now,
right.
Let me back up one quick second here. This group of people are on a case that I uncovered is that same group of people that actually was burying cement and cost the state more than $2 or $3 million and stealing overtime.
Mm-hmm.
Not one of these people went to jail or had to answer for it or anything.
Mm-hmm.
And yet, what is the people that have no homes costing the government?
Mm-hmm.
And why are they chasing you? You lost a computer, is that correct?
My laptop and my camera that I've put a lot of stuff in storage, and that's how I go in and put it on Craigslist and sell my things
mm-hmm.
on there. And they took that and everything I own. I mean, I didn't even have one set of clothes to wear. I didn't have anything. Everything of mine was gone, my ID, everything. And when I went to try and grab my ID, they told me to get out of the area or they were going to have the police come in.
Mm-hmm.
So it's crazy when it happens because people are running with their things. Kids are crying. It's terrible. It's terrible.
Now, I have another gentleman gentleman here on the phone. He also lives down there and in Kakaako in a tent. And good morning. How are you, Jason?
This is homeless Denise in McClure.
Well, hold on, Denise.
Sure.
Jason, are you there?
Yeah, I'm here. How are you doing today?
Thank you. I'm fine. Thank you. Welcome to the show. And we're talking about this government operations zone. And I want to ask the two of you, what is there any signs that say government operation zone prior to them hopping out of the truck and running around putting tape?
No. And it's a sneak attack. They try and sneak up on us. And, like, they get all their trucks in line somewhere down the road so we can't see them coming. So it's a big, you know, them trying to sneak up on us to be able to grab our stuff, as, you know, as fast as they can. And I think it's a game to them on – on how much they can, how much things they can grab and who they can absolutely take everything you own from.
Mm-hmm.
You know, because they are making remarks to us that are not, you know, nice. And it's really terrible, and mm-hmm. and to lose everything you have left in your life, it's hard.
And they come in and they swoop down, put the tape around, and they tell you what you have 2 minutes, 3 minutes, 5 minutes. What?
No, they don't give you a time. They say now, get out
yeah,
now.
Get your stuff now.
Immediately.
So get what you can carry, and yeah. even then they don't even let you get what you can carry. It's supposed to be just ID and prescription drugs.
Yep.
ID and prescription drugs. Now, the two of you, I've discovered through the midnight hours as we're walking through the Jan and myself, we learned that you folk had your computers seized, and that's your lifeline to at least doing some transactions.
Mm-hmm.
And did you get those back?
Well, no. I'm in the process of trying to get mine back. I went through their administrative hearing, and that's a whole nother thing. That's just crazy, because the administrative hearing consists of two of their lawyers and all of the city and county people, and you're there trying to defend yourself on why you should get your things back or why you should get you have no money to pay the $200 to get it back. And they bring in some of these people that are on the sweep, the head of the sweep. I can't remember what his name is, Brandon. His name is Brandon.
Mm-hmm.
He was there, and he out and out lied about what he had done to us, and so it's all one-sided. You really are just you have nothing to say, really, because
mm-hmm.
he's they're going to believe him. You know,
mm-hmm.
he says he took it the right way, and that is you were on the sidewalk and you'd put the barriers up, all that. Well, no, they don't take it the right way.
Mm-hmm.
And so you're literally sitting there letting them, you know, just go through this process. And then it takes, and then they have 120 days to decide whether they're going to give it back to you or not, or if you're going to get your things
so
back.
So if you claim
you
it.
You have to prove that it's your stuff, but somehow you have to prove that the stuff they took is yours. You know? So
right,
it's
right,
hard,
right.
Hard to prove that what they took is yours. You know, some things don't have your name written down on it. It's just yours. You know?
They don't tag it. Do they give you a receipt when they seize it? They do nothing, or do they?
They give you a very little tiny list of just a, like a very few things mm-hmm. on of what they took.
They can
play. Go ahead, Jason.
They give you a little list of what they see visually, you know, but they don't know what's inside your tent.
Mm-hmm.
It's like blue tent, you know, but they don't really go on the contents of, like, everything that's inside the suitcase, you know, your little things, you know, in family heirlooms and stuff like that.
Mm-hmm. So, Jason, when this there was a tactic employed, and I'm going to talk about one gentleman here. In fact, let me do that now, Jason, and then you can... Mm-hmm. I want the listeners to, some of the people that live there in Kakaako on the street shared with me that what they thought was a guy, Ivan the Terrible, and working for the city, doing these things, and wearing a shirt called Obey, and really boisterous and foul-mouthed with the people.
Mm-hmm.
And he was driving this whole team. He seemed to be the mouthpiece for this. And that person's name is Brad Kitsu.
Mm-hmm.
Now, I was alerted to a situation, and I'm still checking, so I'm going to leave a little bit of doubt. But there is, in the newspaper, online, there is a story done in 2008 by KGMB, or Hawaii News Now, Mina Sugimoto. And she wrote that a private school athletics director who pleaded guilty to possessing drugs and drug paraphernalia, ask an Oahu judge for a chance to wipe his record clean Monday. Flanked by his supporters, many dressed to the nines, Brad Kitsu prepares for his sentencing. At the time of the drug arrest, he was the athletic director and English teacher at the Academy of Pacific. Now, being careful, these are two similar names, and I contacted the city, and was told by the maintenance or the that, yes, this is the same guy. Tyler told me, yes, he think that this guy was. So I'm going on that, but again, may not be. But again, for the last 14 years I've dedicated my life, he's quoted, to bettering the community, Kitsu said, through He's an English teacher. At the time of his drug arrest, he was the athletics director of the English at the academy. Police arrested him as after a parcel containing nearly 2 pounds of marijuana was sent to his Kukui Plaza apartment last year. His friend, co-defendant Wayne Morris Rowe, took responsibility for the drug delivery. But during a search, officers discovered more than an ounce of marijuana and drug pipe in Kitsu's apartment. Quote, I stand before you humbly to ask your leniency and your forgiveness, Kitsu told the judge. Kitsu requests a conditional discharge, which means he could keep the crime off his record if he stays out of trouble for 5 years. But prosecutors want the jail time and probation, saying the man who's been arrested before doesn't deserve another break. Defendant did have a prior chance to keep his record clean when he had a prior deferral for 2 assaults. So the judge went ahead and granted. I'm basing this on the statements provided to me and the confirmation provided to me by city employees that this was the same man. And so, therefore, I asked them, how were the conditions of his employment? And I was told that it was a private, a personal contract, a services contract. I asked to have a copy sent to me. They did not. So what does that have to do with you folks? Well, I believe that with seeing how severe and how aggressive this mayor is with his tactics and the police department are with their tactics, how can they, with good conscience, in good conscience, have such a team, or the composition of such a team, if this is in fact true? Go ahead, Jason.
I don't know. It's just they're bullies, you know, if they come through, and it really, I guess, we had a police officer come through today, and, you know, he just gave us them, told us that, you know, it's not his problem, but we're forcing our problem onto him, so, like, he's forcing us to get off the property and all this stuff, you know, so it's,
mm-hmm.
It's like they push us around because we're already back in the corner, you know.
Now, where you are in that area, that's a private land, as you were describing, and so the landowner would have to file a complaint that you are trespassing, I guess. And did they show you a complaint?
They didn't show us nothing. This happened once before. The police officer just shows up, and he wakes everybody up, and he tells us, you know, get up, you're on private property, you're considered trespassing. Get your stuff and put it on public property now. And more police will be on their way soon to file the report and stuff.
Mm-hmm.
So far, no other police have come, and everyone on our block is, like, still frantically moving our stuff to the sidewalk right now.
Mm-hmm. So, Jason, have you attempted to recover your property?
No, I haven't really attempted to. It's just I never had the money to, so I never bothered trying because I didn't.
Mm-hmm. So when you're fading on me there, when they take your computer, for example, what you attempted to recover it, to get it back, and what happened?
Well, they take ID and stuff like that too. I mean, they have my ID and Social Security card. It was in the tent as well. So, I mean, you need ID to go through that process, and then you need an ID to get your Social Security card, and you need Social Security card to get your ID. So, just run around. I got through that. I just gave up on it. You know?
So what we should label this area is no man's land, because if you have no ID, you have no food. Is it true that they actually even seize baby food and milk? Is that true? I was told that by several people, but if you guys, have you witnessed such a practice?
Yeah, they take everything, the food. They don't even, like, they just throw in the dumpster part, you know. Because the trash compactor comes with the other crew that takes your belongings, you know. So they throw away, like, you know, food, you get tossed away.
They take your food.
Yeah.
They throw it away.
Mm-hmm.
All your food's thrown away. All canned goods, everything's thrown
canned
away.
Canned goods, food.
Yeah.
What money I do have that I get from my EBTs that was precious to me, so the very little I spent on food, they came and take it, along with my cooler and my grill and every way to cook it, you know, so pots and pans, so when no way to cook it anyway.
Mm-hmm. Now I see why the mayor didn't want to come to the show. He wouldn't come anyway. We're just small people. we don't have enough money for his style.
Mm.
But this is, it's Nazism what I saw, because and I say that again and again and again, because the Nazis were looking for a perfect race, and so this sounds like Kurt Colwer and Abercrombie is looking for a perfect race. Those that have money, in this case. So if you got money, you're welcome. But if you're down, and we'll talk about, just if you could share your circumstances that brought you to this. You don't have to go into details. Some listeners out there, it's always, well, she's probably did drugs, did as a criminal, What was your basic reason for what conditions
got me there? Well, I was married, and my husband got bit by a spider, and he got a infection. And anyway, he ended up dying. He ended up dying, and of course, I didn't have his income, and I couldn't pay the rent, and so I ended up on the street. So that's kind of how I've gotten there, and that's where I'm at right now.
And you don't want to be there.
Oh, I don't want to be there. I hate every minute of it. I hate every minute of it. It's
hard to sleep.
It's terrible.
How about there are people that predate or prey on many of the homeless there. Is that a frequent occurrence, or can you describe some portions of it?
Well, yeah, it's hard to even go take a shower. Me and my girl, we can't leave the place at the same time. One of us should always stay back behind us, because there are people that know that we do have some belongings in the tent that we can't take with us to the shower, or carry around everywhere. So as soon as we're both gone, they know we're gone. They'll have a look, and someone's come and rip open the tent door. Last week we came back and the tent door was wide open, and our girl's laptop's gone and a few other things, like just valuable stuff that they can sell back on the street. So like there are people that train, lurk around the corner waiting for you to let your guard down, and then they come and take what you got.
I just turned off the respirator at Tripler for my husband when he died, and I came back to nothing. They had went through everything I owned and took all of his things, like, his watch and wallet, and with nothing in it, but all those things. I came back to absolutely nothing. I had to find a piece of cardboard to sit on. They took everything of mine. So, yeah, it does happen for sure. It happens a lot. You have to guard your stuff. That's for sure.
Go ahead, Jason.
But yeah, it's either police or criminals that come and take your stuff. It's like, you got nowhere to turn them. So you just got to rely on yourself and never let your guard down.
Now, how does this work? So, backing up, when you're notified by the police that they're going to, or someone comes by and say, we're going to do a raid. I heard that there's
a bullhorn
that they're going to have a raid, and it doesn't occur in the next hour or 2 hours. It occurs right then and there.
Immediately. Yeah. I mean, you might be sleeping, and in the middle of sleep, you hear the bullhorns, and you hear the police sirens and everything, and it's just, you get this panic feeling that you just got to get up and, grab whatever that's really important to you, because you're going to lose it. Because they rope off, block areas and won't let anybody in that block, so it's pretty hard to see them coming if they're blocking up such a large area, and you just got to grab it and run. They had told us on one of the sweeps that we had a little safe zone in one area that we could go with our stuff after, if we go with the stuff that we had pulled out, got from before they took it from us. And so we went to that area, and then on the next sweep came along, we went back to that area because we thought it was a safe zone. That's the first place they came down and hit. They grabbed, because everybody was over there with what they could take. And they roped that off and took. Then everybody lost everything again.
Let me ask the two of them, and then we got a caller here. Let me answer.
Okay.
Caller, good morning. You have a comment, a question? Anyway, let me ask you. Just like I say, we're going to have honest talk here. Do either of the two of you want to be down there? I mean, in answering to the people that say you're there because you want to be there, you're lazy, you don't want to work, can you guys speak to that? I don't want to speak for you. Jason, and can you just lay it out from there?
I don't want to be here, of course, though. I mean, I feel ashamed a lot of times, and being down. But once you're down, it's hard to get up, and then the extra stuff that they do to keep us down, taking our belongings, whatever income we do have and stuff. I mean, how am I supposed to go get a job if I know that, like I go to the bathroom, come back, all my tools for work are going to be gone? And that's happened too. And a few weeks ago, all my work tools, my tool belt, hammer, everything I use for working, is gone. So now I'm a carpenter. I got to apply for a job permanent, but I have no tools anymore. Mm-hmm. You know, I got to get money to make money to buy tools. Because it's just like, it's just, once you're down in this hole, it's hard to get out. And I don't think anybody wants to be here.
So it's every day the mayor comes along with the governor's assistance and instructions or advisement, comes along with, they dig a hole for you, and then they come along and has this unique oil to pour it on the, down the hole, so you damn sure ain't going to crawl your way out again.
And then to lose absolutely everything you have, I mean, you can't even make anything to eat. You can't even have a cold water, whatever. And it's hard to go out and repurchase all these. We don't have the money to do that. So when they take everything, you're just sitting on a piece of cardboard going, what am I going to do now? Where am I going to go now?
You got to deal with the rain and all that stuff.
Yeah, and the rain, the elements of all that, yeah.
Your tent, it still gets wet. Your stuff gets wet.
Yeah.
Hold on 1 second. Caller, good morning. You have a comment or question?
Hi, Carol. You have some very articulate guests there, too. I just find this appalling, that shame on the mayor. And, I've been dealing with these folks for quite a number of years now. We were trying to just the simple idea of having a storage unit for folks that the city would just provide, you know, which would help folks. But of course, the bottom line is we need affordable housing, big time. And you know, wherever you try and say, well, they always have an excuse. Well, we can't do it. They're this zone, this and zone that. And, you said it really well. This is Nazism. This is fascism, you know? And your two guests are doing a very good job of articulating exactly what it feels like. Oh, by the way, I've been homeless myself. Basically, I'm kind of semi-homeless even now. I'm just right on the edge. It just appalls me there's no real process. This is against one's constitutional rights that they can just take your stuff. I mean, without even letting you, get your ID and, it's very important. So anything like that, really, because what you're doing is you're getting, your possession, your basic possessions. It's not like people have a lot of riches and stuff. They have survival gear. You know, this is stay alive. This exists, you know? Carry on. I'll listen to you folks.
Okay, thank you, Dave.
I really empathize with that because I've been going through that I could go a long story through that, but, and I have a disabled wife and I'm disabled and my son is disabled too. And for the last 9 years, we've basically been homeless in various forms, you know.
Okay.
And it's a nightmare. And they say it well.
Okay, well, keep listening. Call back if you'd like to.
Okay. I suppose.
All right, aloha.
Aloha.
We'll go to Denise. Denise, you there?
Hi.
Yeah, go ahead. You have some comment real quick?
Yes. Case number 2110601. The cops put me out on the street. I had a place to live. Now they keep me on the street because they know I've got money. Each time they try, I'm really, $340 to bail my car out of impound. That money goes to HPD. Each time I show up in court, everybody in court gets paid. That's the reason why they're doing it. Job security.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, really, to approach me under the color of law in uniform, each time they assault me, that is domestic terrorism. I mean, my opinion, everybody who was thrown out on the street, everybody who was harassed by the cops, Rebuffo, Cajillo, Higa, I mean, to have a cop sit 2 inches away from your nose while my arms and legs are in handcuffs in the back of a squad car and tell me not only do I not have civil rights, but now I've got a record, tells me that was conspiracy to commit fraud.
Okay. Alrighty, and anything else real quick?
The last time was just a few months ago. I got a cop telling me I better apologize to him or he's going to tow my car.
Well, you know,
we're more money in their pocket.
I'm trying to focus on emphasize
that's the reason why. That's the reason why they're taking people's property. I wouldn't be surprised if you find a computer, go to eBay and see your property online for sale by HPD.
Well, you're jumping a great crevasse. Yes, they may do that, but it's a process through their auctioning. It suggests the way you're presenting it is that the individual officer seizes it, and then he goes, we want to make sure that we don't just take the liberty of just speaking and impugning.
I'll do it all day long because it's
well, then you
to
do
me.
That and bring
it's
the proof.
To me. It's happened to
not,
me.
Go do it and bring me the proof, and we'll talk about it. But unless
I've got all the proof.
An officer sees your computer, and that one officer, you went to Craigslist and found that officer's name associated with the Craigslist sale, offering of a sale
that,
for that.
That's not how they do it.
Well, no, I didn't ask you that. The way I was saying, with caution, I don't want to sit here and allow you to just toss it out there suggesting that. Unless you can give us specifics, then and I'm not protecting anyone. I just try to contain. Let's be reasonable in our. I mean, as much as I'm pissed off too, but I don't think I have the liberty of just saying anything and leaving it up to inflame the community or the public, or misinform them, right, with emotions.
This is my point. If it's about cleaning the streets, then everything would be thrown away. They wouldn't seize cell phones. They wouldn't seize computers. They wouldn't seize things of value, tools, items like that. Mm-hmm. If it was about cleaning up the streets, they would have taken a Big Ben, along with their sneaky, covert operation, and dumped everything in it, if that's what it was about.
Mm-hmm. Okay. All righty. Well, thank you. I'm going to...
I'm serious. Go to YouTube and check out making a complaint on a berserk Honolulu police officer. This happened in front of HPD.
Okay. All righty. Well, thank you. And then I'll listen for you again. Call back if you'd like to have some of the comments. Okay?
Okay.
All right. Thank you. Okay, Jason?
Yes, sir.
Yeah. So you've tried to get your paperwork, your property from the Halava station. If either of you guys, and I think you've actually gone through the full process,
can you
tell us how you, what you did when they seized it, and you did go to Halava.
Right.
And tell us the...
Well, briefly, it was before I went out there, before they had the $200 fee that you had to pay. So I went out there and on a bus, because I don't have a car, and the bus drops you off pretty much on the off-ramp of the freeway, and you have to walk probably, I'd say, minimum of 2-3 miles up a hill, and then way, way back into these warehouses where your stuff is. And they greet you at the gate with four city and county guys and a security guard and a video camera. And they proceed to video camera you and everything you sign. And they stand there with their arms crossed. They bring your they call it a bin. It's a big garbage can. And they videotape them cutting this tape that's put over your supposedly sealed your containers. And then they open it up, and you have just a little time to get everything out of there and get it off their property. And I went to throw a Coke can in their garbage, and they came back and just had a big fit and says, you can't yet throw anything in our garbage here. All has to be removed. And they told me to go outside the gate and bring all my stuff outside the gate and take it all now. And so I started looking through mine, and somebody had been looking through it, because in the middle of my things were two half-eaten plate lunches that it looked like somebody set out it on their lunch hour and decided to go look through what they seized and threw their lunch, what they didn't want to eat at their lunch, threw it in on my stuff and then threw my clothes on top of it. By the time I got it, it was full of bugs and all that kind of stuff. Nobody ever gets everything they take. I mean, we get very little of what they take. And if anything of value, no way, that's not going to be in there. You'll get your dirty laundry and a little bit of, very little things. You're not going to get what's anything of value. And even filing the hearing and doing all that, I really doubt that I'll see my laptop and my camera and my iPods and all that, because it's not going to happen. But mm-hmm. I just want my personal paperwork is what I'm really, really needing.
Mm-hmm. Jason?
Yeah, same thing. It's such a trial and pain just to go through the process. It's like almost I let things go. Because you can't get back some of the stuff that they consider trash and throw away, pictures and stuff like that,
Mm-hmm. So you go up there and you catch the bus. There are certain things you can't put on the bus, right?
Right, yeah. Right. Yeah.
So you're
not allowed to have anything in those suitcases, nothing bigger than a backpack on the bus.
So you can't take anything bigger than a backpack, so you're really screwed. And then again,
you have a truck or some sort of way of hauling it, and still then you have to have a place to take it.
And you can't leave any of your things behind that you can't take on the bus. You can't leave it anywhere by their property, but they give you no other choice than to drag it down to another business and find a dumpster to dump it in, or else leave it right on the street down away from, of course, city and county, because mm-hmm. they said if I left any of my stuff there, that they would be calling the HPD and have me arrested mm-hmm. for littering or whatever. I can't remember, but it was a horrible process going through that. I mean, it was just, again, them bearing down on us, and just it wasn't a nice process. Just like the hearing was a joke. And I 120 days to decide if I should get my things back. Why does it take 120 days? I want my things back now. I need my paperwork. I need my stove. I need my cooking utensils. I need my clothes. I need that. Not in 120 days.
Mm-hmm. Caller, good morning. You have a comment or question?
I'm from the police, anyway.
Hello.
Oh, I'm sorry. Here. Listen, Carol, you folks that you have on there, you know what's going on here is the demonization of people. I don't even like to call it homeless. Homeless is like the N-word. There's a new N-word, the HL people, And what they've done is just demonized. I mean, I get sick when I look in the newspaper and they say, homeless person robs home. Oh, they make a connotation on that. Or homeless person does this, or homeless person does that, stabs another or whatever. And they're forever demonizing folks like that. And of course, we're all drug addicts or alcoholics or something like that. We're nothing. And homeless, that means less than a human. And that's the connotation you kind of get.
Yeah.
And unfortunately, way too many people take look at that and they say, those bums, those people that are freeloaders. That's the word I hear a lot. You're just a freeloader, And that is so much, we try and advocate for ourselves. I've been trying to get Mr. Kippen, the homeless coordinator for the governor, for a whole year, every time I find him, he's going to a meeting. Mr. Kippen of the state capitol? Well, I'd like to go to that meeting too. Well, but this, I said, wait a minute, this is a state capitol. Everything's transparent. Everything's public here, why are we left out of this discussion, and it goes on and on, Anyway, I'm just so outraged. But by the way, if I know the feeling when you're stripped bare, basically. You're stripped bare of everything. And then they say, well, why didn't you pull up yourself by your bootstraps?
Well, Dave.
I have no
boots. Dave, this is what I take away from this. This is confirms what I say. When everyone goes to the meetings and sit down with Suzanne Chan Oakland and all of those people, you guys are sitting there drinking very berry pie with them and smoothies. this kind of stuff is going on. When will the rhetoric stop? There are children down there, as I say. Jeff is occurring. I mean, it's on both sides. The advocates, I'm learning. I think the advocate community has gotten into this groove of feeling massaging themselves to talk about it and have meetings, and being careful to say the right things to Suzanne Chan Oakland and to Colin Kippen, and to when is the community itself going to? And I've been on this show at this station for many years now, and I hear the same old nonsense. And I hear what I do hear that is predictable. We had another meeting with Suzanne Chan Oakland. We had another meeting, and there's a, you know, well, I began to think that it's almost a religious practice, in that it's the opiate going to those meetings, and then down on the streets, people and their rights are being infringed and violated, and children now, and we're going to talk about that, children being denied natal care, period, food, nutrition. Sure. And we all gravitate back to, we get, you know, I'm sorry. I think that everybody that has worn a hat calling themselves an advocate has failed, because if they don't know that people are being ripped off and chased around and treated like back in the Holocaust, I'm sorry. Enough already of all of this nonsense. And unless someone stand up and speak. It's just, I'll be talking to you 10 more years, and I'll be hearing you say the same thing.
Oh, yeah. That 10-year plan, you know, it's almost up, you know. And we're going to end the homelessness.
Yeah.
Abercrombie had the 90-day plan.
Right. So what I'm about to say, what I'm compelled to say, is that this is why we need to say to the Democrat Party and the Republican Party, just go to hell. We're going to vote for Mickey Mouse, because that's all we're getting anyway. No. I hear the same old grind, and then I go down there and I look and I see the people, the human beings.
Forget
the home. These are human beings. And I say to myself, I too, you too, anybody could be down there tomorrow.
Oh, sure.
And why are they there? Because unless you're the perfect human being with money in your pocket. It used to be they were sought to have it, blonde, blue eyes, and a perfect stature. Now it's, if you got a wad in your pocket, welcome aboard. But if that wad dissipates, guess what? So anyway, hold up. Caller, good morning. You have a comment or question?
Hello. This is almost Denise again. I just want to call and say I find it ironic that president of this country is shoving down the homeless from other countries onto America. But look what we're doing to our own.
Yeah.
Don't you find it ironic?
Well, it's sickening, not just ironic. I agree with you.
Isn't it?
Yeah, but
you got Homeland Security making sandwiches for people coming. Hello?
Yeah, go ahead.
Oh, you got Homeland Security making sandwiches for people illegally storming the gates of this country. Yet here I am, a person who had a wad in her pocket, who still has money in her pocket, and the domestic terrorists call themselves HPD. See me, you know, bitter, because every time she goes to court, ka-ching, we're getting paid.
I hear about your court case more times than I see my dog and say good morning to him.
It's incredible, and they can't stand the fact that I keep beating them. They hate it.
Yeah, you told me.
Put my hands on them.
Okay.
One of them's gonna push me physically, push me hard enough that I fight back physically, and then they'll say, "See, there's that nigger homeless woman again."
Yeah. Yeah.
See, all these things that we said about her all these years are now coming to fruition. See, we told you so. Damn niggers, damn homeless people.
Well, I think that by now something needs to change. Okay.
Yeah.
And so that's what
the government.
We're working. Okay. Well, thank you.
Thank you.
All Anyway, when you guys and Jason, and thanks for hanging in there. The when you take this, I spoke to your friend,
mm-hmm.
and he was telling me that he found himself in a predicament where they came through and they seized everything,
mm-hmm.
and then everyone thought that he had gone to the shower or something and come back. They doubled back and took everything. He was left with no shirt, no shoes other than the slippers and his pants, and couldn't go to work because he was actually being hired. Someone was hiring them.
He didn't have his tennis shoes or his tools.
So it what are they accomplishing? I mean, let me ask you this, and we're going to go to a break. When they succeed in taking everything from you in these government operation zones, mm-hmm. does that cause you to go away? Are you going to go poof, disappear without a shirt, without a shoes, without a canned food, without a heater? Does that mean they've solved the, quote, problem and you go away?
No. We're going to go right back. We have no other place to go or we wouldn't be there. You know, if I had any other place to go, I used to make it a full-time job of just going around all these agencies trying to fill out all the forms to see if I'm eligible to get subsidized housing of any kind, because I get a little bit of income, and I just need a little bit of help with the rent. And there was always some kind of a block. I wasn't crazy enough to get there, to be on their program. You got to be crazy before we'll help you with the house. And so on and so on. I mean, I used to go out 5 days a week and with all these phone numbers and notebooks and go from agency to agency, and no one out there could help.
Caller, good morning. Real quick, you have a comment or question?
Yeah, me again, Carol. But I can relate to your guests there about the going from agency to agency. I mean, we've just got every darn thing, the Hawaii Housing Authority and many multiple low cost rental, that's around town.
Yeah.
And, you know, they say, well, the wait might be a year or two, you know, and the wait has been 9 years and going on. And not when have we done? And the state sends you that thing every year. You have to fill it out.
Okay.
If you don't fill that out exactly as you're supposed to do, they'll knock you off the list. Here's the deal: there's 10,000 people.
Okay, Dave, we're coming down to the last minute. You can go ahead and finish that up real quick.
Yeah, there's 10,000 people on the waiting list. Actually, it's 3,000 people in the total families. And there's about 600 units that come available every year. That's the thing. And there's about another 600 that are just vacant because they don't have the funds they don't provide the funds to those units, you know.
Okay.
And then it's mostly a joke. It really is.
The whole thing is a joke. What I'm saying, the entire process, if the advocates and some of the people stop going to these stupid-ass meetings and sitting there, all you're doing is fueling the lies and teaching these people. You give them an audience, and they get to say, we talk to the homeless, and we talk to the homeless advocates, and yet they took money from the churches and took money from the nonprofits and cut their funding, who would go down there and feed. And maybe the people didn't need to have pots and pans, but now they've taken the money that would support the food programs sponsored by the churches. So anyway, we're going to take it up in the next hour. If you'd like to call back.
Yeah, I'll call back again.
Okay.
All righty.
All right, thank you.
Thank you.
But anyway, this what I saw down there in spending that night, and not just one night, and I've spent many days and hours down there, there is really a sad commentary about while we're talking about we want to define you and everybody else and Jason, why you're down there and what have you. They're little children. How did they make it there? So we're going to talk about that in the next hour. Please join me, carolcox.com. And I have two guests, and the caller they're calling in, you'll have to hold on and join me in the next hour. So we'll see you next hour. Aloha. And pick us up on the Internet. Go to KWAI 1080 AM and click on Listen Live.
Sitting in the witness stand, the judge's wife called up. job, you better pay that brown eyed man. Ran across the desert in a TWA. I saw a woman walking across the sand. She'd been a walking 30 miles en route to Bombay to meet a brown eyed handsome man. Her destination was a brown eyed handsome man.
Stay tuned for the second half of the Carol Cox Show right after the news on KWAI Honolulu.
More of them are identified.
It's time for the Carol Cox Show right here at K108. If you have questions or comments for Carol, our number here is 524-1080, 524-1080. And now, here's Carol.
Hey, welcome back to the Carol Cox Show, second hour. Sitting here talking with my friends, and we're talking about the issue on homelessness and how the people that are impacted are being affected by the government, the quasi-nazi. We believe that there are some serious problems, and we spent a night down there with the program, a project that was launched by Jeff Davis and called the Solar Guy. So he's on the line right now, and then I also have Mr. Brian in. He's an attorney, and we're going to talk about civil rights and all of that, and so tune in and listen in, and feel free to call with your questions or comments or support. So we'll be patching in Jeff here. Jeff, good morning. How are you?
Aloha, everybody, and a good morning to you in the most beautiful place on the planet Earth, in the middle of the Pacific Ocean, Hawaii, baby. Aloha.
Aloha. So what's happening, and you kick this ball, and people seem to be catching it. So what's happening
is thanks to people like you, and thanks to people like all the folks who have slept in my tent, Jan Weinberg, Steve Miller, Pastor Celeste McBride. I've got more people coming in, Richard Morse, many people who have slept in that tent in a sort of a solidarity, I guess you'd say, Mr. Cox. And from my particular case, up against this fact of homeless children being treated as if they were nothing, in fact, less than a cat into the Humane Society, the face of homelessness being the ever scapegoat bum instead of the face of a child, and we have a governor who sits there and takes credit for our economic prosperity in the midst of this. It's just... Well, that's what got me to move into the tent, as you well know, Carol.
Mm-hmm.
You also know that because there's so many people that I meet down there, Carol, who come down there all the time, if not daily, to help these people in any way, shape, or form, churches, concerned citizens, etc. I just happen to be the fellow with a radio show every day of the week. You were my guest last week. I'm on 760 at 5 o'clock in the afternoon, 760 KGUAM, 7 days a week. And with that in mind, I had a platform. And 2 + 2 = 4, having moved into the tent for 4 nights and saw the extreme, basically, danger that these children live in without any running water or bathrooms. I just followed water downhill myself and did what was a common sense thing to do, got involved to my elbows. And as you know, Carol, we'll be going into a debate, myself, the governor, Duke Iona, Mufi Hanneman, and Mr. Ige, senator. We will all be debating this Kaka'ako issue on July 1st, 5 o'clock in the afternoon at the Capitol building, in the Capitol auditorium. It's open to the public, Carol, and I would expect to see anybody who keeps a hoot about either development and how it's out of control for special interests, or if that includes the unions, the developers, and the politicians, or indeed for those who care about homeless, because when I get my chance at the podium, I'm going to be tying the two right together.
All right.
Well, that's a mouthful.
Well, thank you. And how do people contact you to join in and spend a night down there at the tent?
Well, I tell you what, they better contact me quickly, because that tent, for all intents and purposes, is going to shut down as soon as we can. And that's the day that the mayor and the state and the city admit that the face of homelessness is a child, and a dollar better well spent goes to a child and a family.
Mm-hmm.
And that's the day that, in fact, I'd like to see the last guest in my tent, if not his own, be Kurt Caldwell. And we'll shut that tent down. We'll get these children, first of all, some water and a toilet. And then we'll start looking for a place where families only. You understand, Carol, pardon me, I'm in a trade show. I'm losing my voice here at the Blaisdell. You understand that a family-only shelter is my ultimate step?
Mm-hmm.
Step by step by step. Okay, the first step is bloody water and a toilet. The second step is a family-only shelter where these families can feel safe going in there without being mixed into a homogenous population of possible pedophile and or brain-damaged people from drugs.
Mm-hmm. Okay. All righty. Well, I have Brian here in the studio, Brian Brazier.
Brian was gracious enough to join us just recently.
Yeah, so...
As was Representative Tom Brower.
Right. One of the things I wanted to, there's a gentleman that's involved in this too in helping you, and without him, I think it'd be unfair to ignore him. That's Tom Berg. He's been down there.
Oh, my God. Tom Berg slept in the tent. Now, Pastor McBride was the first. Tom came soon after, before you, before John Weinberg, bless your heart. Tom Berg not only came down there and manned up right away and slept in that tent, but he's also responsible. If you go to YouTube, Jeff Davis, Solar Guy Homeless, YouTube, Jeff Davis, Solar Guy Homeless, you will see several world-class videos that Tom has put together, because as we know, a picture's worth a thousand words. You'll get the invitation for a celebrity sleepover. People can call me, Carol, or you can forward them to me at 554-7200. And again, those of you who come in to sleep in this tent will be heroes, from my point of view.
So 5247...
554-7200.
All righty. Okay, well, let me bring in Brian here, and thanks, Brian. Thanks, Jeff. You going to hold on, or are you going
to... I'm at work, so I'm going to have to let you go, but please... I want to just say thank you to all of you people who are caring about this topic, and for those especially who come down to help, and those who have slept in the tent to make a comment.
All righty.
These children are not lower than animals. They are actually the most beautiful thing on the planet Earth. Aloha.
Aloha. Thanks, Jeff.
Thank you, Carol.
All right. Good morning, Carol.
Good morning, Brian.
So we presently have two lawsuits against the city and county of Honolulu related to what are commonly referred to as Bill 54, which is the stored property ordinance, as well as Bill 7, which is the sidewalk nuisance ordinance.
Mm-hmm.
We've challenged both of them on constitutional grounds, saying that they violate the First Amendment, which is free speech, the Fourth Amendment, which is search and seizure laws, and the Fifth Amendment, which is due process laws. Those challenges sort of come in two shapes, you might say. We're challenging both the way those laws are written,
mm-hmm.
And we think that the process for the property being seized, as well as the process for reclaiming property that has been seized, are both unconstitutional as written.
Mm-hmm.
The bigger problem, and where we've actually gotten made some headway with the federal court, is the way that these laws are actually being enforced on the ground. Because
mm-hmm.
even assuming for sake of argument that the laws are constitutional as written, the city is not enforcing them as they're written. They are not tagging certain property. They are not making notice that property was seized. Upon people trying to go retrieve the property, large quantities of stuff just end up missing,
mm-hmm.
And it's just, you know, vanished into thin air. And so the problem really is from A to Z, from the writing of the law to the enforcement of the law. It's just it's a travesty.
Let me ask you, I noticed while down there, the Constitution affords protection against wrongful search and seizure, overbearing government. But they're on in a public place now, in a public sidewalk. Does the constitutional rights diminish because of where they are? And is that why the government is saying, well, you're now on a public place? Or they've bothered to put it in a tent, so they're not giving up their privacy, correct? Can you explain that? It seems like a dilemma or...
It is a bit of a dilemma. It's a bit of a gray area. Your constitutional rights very much still do exist mm-hmm. in public places. They don't go away just because you walk out of your front door. Right. Are they somewhat diminished? I think the answer there is sort of yes, but they don't go away entirely. Mm-hmm. And moreover, especially with the due process claims, the procedure for both the seizing of the property, they're not afforded any notice prior to the seizure. Mm-hmm. The property is taken out to the DFM yard in Halava, and at this point, they're primarily enforcing things under the sidewalk nuisance ordinance at this point. They've kind of stopped enforcing the stored property ordinance in favor of the sidewalk nuisance ordinance. Well, under the sidewalk nuisance ordinance, in order to retrieve your property, you have to pay a $200 fee to the Halava Yard or request a what they call an administrative hearing, which is essentially a kangaroo court where you can argue that the $200 fee should be waived. But in practice, I haven't seen that happen yet. It may have happened, but I haven't seen it. And certainly the people that I have spoken with regarding the issue, and my clients in particular, in only one instance was the $200 court fee waived, and that was a direct response to us gaining a preliminary injunction against the city in federal court. So that's the only situation I know of where the $200 fee has ever been waived. Mm-hmm. And, you know, it just when you talk to people, so many of the – I mean, there's no question that there's a class of houseless people on this island who have mental illness, have drug abuse issues. Putting them aside for a moment, though, there is also a large group of homeless people, including my clients, who are working people who simply can't afford to get into housing on this island. Mm-hmm. And when you're having your stuff taken from you every 2 weeks, mm-hmm. having to pay a $200 fee to retrieve it, that's a big chunk of time and money. I was trying to think of a sort of a hypothetical scenario, but take husband, wife, two kids, living on the street. Both mom and dad have minimum or low wage jobs. Let's say dad is a security guard, for instance. Mm-hmm. He has his tent rated, his clothing, his
uniform,
work uniform,
badge, everything
taken. So he has to take a day off work, get out to Halava somehow, pay $200. Let's say that the day that he was raided, it was raining that afternoon. Well, the city has said explicitly to us that they are under no obligation to store anything that's wet. So he gets there. He comes to find out that his uniform has been thrown away. So he pays $200, loses a day of wages at work, and then has to pay $40 to buy a new uniform and badge or whatever it is. And when that cycle repeats every 2 weeks, there's no way to get out of this chronic cycle of homelessness, because with that happening to you every 2 weeks, how on earth are you ever going to be able to scrounge together the money for first and last month's rent, security deposit, etc.? It's just not going to
happen.
So
it seems like Mayor Caldwell and Neil Abercrombie want to teach these people a lesson.
It certainly seems that way, yes.
Yeah, but what's the lesson?
You'd have to ask them. It doesn't seem like there's a good one in there for me. I mean, functionally speaking, with the laws that are currently on the books, if you are a homeless person in Hawaii, the only place that you can be confident at night that you're not going to get raided and have your property stolen from you is if you build a raft and float out to sea. I mean, that's really the only...
Yeah, a mass exodus at sea, like lemmings. That's probably amongst the lemming population is why we see such behavior.
Uh-huh.
That's what Neil Abercrombie and Kurt Caldwell want the homeless people to do. When I say homeless, anybody that's not financially acceptable.
Correct.
Whatever, yeah.
It's
yeah.
about fascism.
Yes, no. I mean, one really remarkable fact that, you know, I had never really thought deeply about this issue until a year and a half ago when I started filing these lawsuits, and have now become deeply involved in it, not only here, but looking around the rest of the country to see if there are, you know, sort of viable solutions. I mean, there's no one silver bullet answer to things, but I've been very impressed with the example of, believe it or not, Utah, which is not exactly known as a state that's given handouts, but Utah has a program called Housing First. And the last 8 years, the homeless population of the state of Utah has gone down by 78%. And the state of Utah explicitly has the goal that homelessness will be ended statewide by 2015. And the way that they've done that is they've provided housing and casework, social workers for homeless populations, no strings attached, to try to get people back into, I guess you might say, mainstream society. And part of the reason that Utah did this was I forget if it was the Senate or the legislature there, but their budget committee sat down and determined that between ER trips, jail visits, and storing of homeless people's property when it was seized, the state was spending $16,670 per homeless person per year to have them on the street. And they found out that if they had provided them with an apartment and a social worker, they'd be spending $11,000 per person per year. So the state, by housing and providing a social worker to these homeless people in Utah, the state was actually saving $5,570 per year per person by doing this.
Speaking of money, where are these funds? Let's say if it was a viable program and people brought their $200, where was this $200 going to go, and what fund?
I don't actually honestly know the answer to that.
We should in your inquiry, because that would show that it's bogus. Is it going in the general fund, or if they cared, is it going to go into a program, the coffers, to assist and aid in the? Right.
Yeah. That would seem to be the logical place for it to go.
But I think Caldwell probably, he came up with this. He and Neil, it was pay to play. See, if you're going to live down there, you give us $200, you can stay.
Yeah.
Because we'll come back next week get another. They're used to that pay to play game, right?
Yeah.
So, let me entertain one of the callers here right quick. Caller, good morning, real quick. You have a comment, a question? Hello. Paula, good morning. You have a comment or question?
Hello, this is Homeless Denise.
Okay, hold on, Denise.
Okay, no, I just want to say hi to Brian. He's a tremendous attorney. Anybody within the sound of my voice, help this man out. HPD is harassing him, too.
Okay, well, thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you, Brian.
You're more than welcome.
Good morning, Paula. You have a comment or question? Good morning, Carly. You have a comment or question?
Hello? Hi, Carol. You know what we got here? We have a homeless industrial complex. We have people that are making a very good living. Colin Kippen makes $97,000 a year. And that Connie Mitchell, I'm not sure, but I'm sure it's in that range. And that fellow from the homeless veterans, something. I'm sure he makes a nice, good figure. And then this whole homeless shelter complex, too. Mm-hmm. I mean, I saw that in person when I was staying at the damn shelter. I mean, they come driving their Lexuses, and then they hire Senator's sons to run the place. Yeah. And then, you know, what they say is, oh, go to shelter. Yeah, I mean, that's all you have to do is go to shelter.
Hold on one second.
And, you know,
hold on.
Oh.
Caller, good morning. You have a comment or question?
Hello?
Yeah, go ahead. You have a comment or question?
Yes. It's about them making money. That's what it is.
Okay.
Each time they see me, each ticket they write me, they know that it's money going into their pockets.
Okay. Well,
the judges, the defense attorney. I've been in court, and I've heard insiders, the sheriffs who escort prisoners, talking about how prosecutors and defense attorneys and the men's restroom practice strategy against the judge they're going to face. I mean, imagine being the person who has a defense attorney who goes to the cop in court and says, fix my parking ticket, yet tells me, here, this is the best I can do for you. I fired her.
Okay.
I got another defense attorney, and we won a not guilty verdict with my argument and my evidence.
Okay, well, thank you. Caller, good morning. You have a comment or question?
Hello?
Yeah, you got a comment or question?
Oh, hi, Carol again. Anyway, the deal with this homeless industrial complex, you have these folks, then you have these shooters where abuse is rampant. Matter of fact, if you get stuff thieved, go to a homeless shelter. Mm-hmm. You'll get your stuff stolen there, too.
Yeah.
And then you will be, believe it or not, a lot of people don't realize, but they will kick you out of a shelter if you dare complain about anything. You know, I mean, we saw that.
I don't want to squander this good man's time because this is, see, I've seen this truck go around and around and around in circles, and I'm tired of looking at a truck going in circles. So Brian seemed to have, he has filed a lawsuit. That, you know, money talk and BS, you know what, walks, right? So let's get to stop talking and give some consideration to, for every stupid meeting all of you go to, you're just sitting there. You're telling me you've defined this homeless industrialization or whatever you call it. But tomorrow morning, they're going to send you an email, and you'll be flocking right back down there, and they're going to go back and write up a report and says, we met with the homeless, and it's, you know, stop it. It's crazy, man. Go down there and tell your senators you're just not going to vote for them. Tell your state representative. And tell Neil Abercrombie that he got to go. See, that's where, and let's quit putting this Suzanne Chun Oakland on a pedestal. I've seen more harm come to homeless people and the homeless population with this nice, kind-hearted person for the system and not giving much of a damn for the people.
Yeah.
I'm sorry. I see in the eyes of the little snotty-nosed little children, the women that are pregnant. Yeah, I know what some of you are going to say, but enough already. This is just insane. And all of us out there that think we got a swagger with this homeless debate, we're not swaggering, we're floundering. And unless we stand up and show some bones and backbone, forget it, man. I'm Colin Kippen, we know what he is. We know that. So let's listen to Brian right quick and let's learn some tactics and strategies. And maybe he is looking for clients or to join in. So let's listen to that. But this other rhetoric about what they're doing and defining and the homeless is enough already. I'm about to take my lollipop and pluck myself upside the head with it. I'm a sucker like the rest of them if I can.
That's it. People suckers.
Okay. Go ahead, Brian.
Well, I think that one really important thing, and one thing that's been very helpful for us thus far in the two lawsuits that we have, which are both still ongoing, and in one of them we have a stipulated preliminary injunction, and then in the other one, in the second one, which is the sidewalk nuisance ordinance, we actually got granted a preliminary injunction from the federal court here. And what was really useful for us in both those instances in terms of, as a practical matter, as an attorney, being able to accomplish what we have so far and hopefully quite a bit more, is that my clients were very, very good at documenting stuff at every stage of the game. They would videotape the raids. They were very good about saving what we call the tags, which are the list of the inventory list of properties.
Supposedly inventory.
Supposedly inventory list of property, exactly. And we're good about, you know, timely requesting appointments, going out and making a list as they were going through the bin with their property of everything that was missing. And so the fact that we had the videotape of the raid, the paperwork documentation of the property that was supposedly taken, and they also kept lists of stuff that was not on the tag but was taken, and then were good about inventorying what wasn't
available.
And it's constitutionally, you must, whatever it sees, you must give accounting for it.
Yeah.
As an entity, as an enforcement agency or yeah. government, you have to.
Yeah.
Or that in itself is a violation.
Yeah. Well, and the really troublesome thing to me, so many parts of it are troublesome, but one really troublesome thing is that a lot of the property that seems to go missing is the high ticket items, cameras,
right.
mm-hmm. solar laptops. Chargers, laptops, cell phones, those kind of things. And mm-hmm. and the answer from the people at DFM and at Halava Yard is, well, we don't know what happened to it. Well, something happened between the time you wrote it down on that tag and the time where somebody showed up to try to claim it. I mean, and it was in your possession that entire time.
I actually had someone that worked there call and provided me information, like they provided me the illegal dumping that entity was doing. So it's factual, it's true, but getting up there, because you see, when the Nazis get to play, they keep honest people away, and they're just impacting, negative impact. But this is about due process, too. See, that's the other problem. And so I look at this. It's a microcosm, but it bothers me, and going on a tangent here, it troubles me. I love this country. I love America because I know it works. And so when we see this behavior, it may be small in the eyes of others, but once it get a foothold and get traction, that's a slippery slope.
It very much is, yes.
And when we see it, it's an overt action, many actions, just one after a chain reaction. And at the end of the day, I see as these are citizens of these United States, and that's what troubles me. It's not about just the homeless. It's about the constitutional right,
due process. Right.
And then government overextending itself or overstepping its bounds. Where examples do we find that? We accuse them in banking and everything else and extending care for the bigger companies. But this is upon our doorstep. The British are coming. We won't ever hear that again, probably. They don't have to come. Kurt Caldwell is going to lay out the red carpet for any fool that wants to inflict greater injury and erode the Constitution of these United States.
Absolutely. I mean, I am a civil rights and constitutional law attorney to take on these kind of cases. I mean, to try to protect the fundamental rights of the American citizen. I mean, in my somewhat learned opinion, the first 10 amendments to the United States Constitution are the most brilliant and poignant political document ever written in the history of man. And to see it just run roughshod over by these hooligans is deeply troubling.
Yeah. Caller, good morning. You have a comment or question?
Yeah, I heard one of the solutions to the homeless problem, and I got two comments.
All right, Ed, go for it.
Yeah, first one is, he mentioned that state of Utah has such a superior program. I think all the homeless that moved here from the mainland should move to Utah and take advantage of the program. And my second point is, I'm hoping that they catch the guys that beat you up and find out who put them up to it.
They're still going through the list of who put them up to it. That's a 10-year investigation.
That's going to be very interesting.
Comment
to the solution for the homeless of Utah.
They estimate it'll be a 10-year search to find out who I didn't piss off. Okay, Ed, thank you.
Yes, sir.
Aloha. Anyway, go ahead.
I mean, you know, to me, I think that it's going to take a lot more of these lawsuits to sort of to turn some heads and to get people to get the people who are enforcing the law, whether it be the Honolulu Police Department or DFM or Parks, to behave properly. I mean, I'm not a fan of the laws as they're written as it is, but if they would just get to the point where they followed their own laws, things would be markedly better. They wouldn't it's not a perfect solution, but they would be markedly better than right now. And I think it's just going to take shaming them again and again and again to get the necessary training and
they did a test on politicians. They ruled it out. They are insensitive. They can't be shamed. They've already you're dealing with a critter from nowhere.
Well, I mean, the fact of the matter is that when you do fight constitutional law cases and are victorious against a government that's violating constitutional rights, that governmental entity has to pay the attorney's fees and costs
right.
of the prevailing party. And, this is certainly not the kind of law work where you get rich doing it. But if they see 6, 7, 8, 10, 15 line items on the budget every year where they're paying these
settlements.
Lawyers like me in settlements, eventually, they're not going to take note because they all of a sudden grew a heart. They're going to take note because they don't want to be spending X number of dollars every single year because they're not following their own laws.
Yeah.
And it's my great hope that I'm quite a young lawyer, but it's my great hope that some other good-hearted lawyers will sort of take up the charge as well on this issue because. There's strength in numbers, for sure.
How do we get in touch with you, and where can you be? You're going to be on Jeff Davis' show Thursday or something?
We haven't figured out exactly what day yet, okay. but at some point soon, okay. yeah.
And then you're Brian, B-R-I-A-N-J, Brazier, B-R-A-Z-I-E-R.
That's
am I
correct.
Pronouncing it? Brazier.
Brazier. Yeah.
And at 922?
Yes.
808-922-2032. And Brian Brazier at gmail.com is the email, did I?
Correct, yep.
And so are you looking to, or are you welcoming other clients on these issues?
I would be interested in taking additional clients. As I said earlier, the evidentiary proof stuff, having like the videotape, taking very careful notes of what's missing. Those are the kind of things that are necessary for me to be able to take on a case. I mean, I'm a small shop law firm, so I can't be doing 50 of these at a time, But if the facts are correct and egregious enough, and I think I could win, I'd be interested in talking to anybody about their situation.
I was going to come in. I noticed you didn't come in with a silk tie.
No. I'm pretty casual. I only wear a suit in the courtroom.
Caller, good morning. You have a comment, a question?
Yeah, I wanted to comment about my friend that became homeless and got rousted and scared by the police to the point that he was able to talk about getting his property back and then went to the Shelter Plus in Kakaako or Next Step, and he's reasonably well satisfied. He's, a broken person. He's got to try to recover his occupation, his housing, I guess pay people back money he owes, but he feels really glad about what he's doing. And I'm happy to hear that.
Very good.
I think that says something positive. I've been through a lot of blenders, Washington State, Hawaii, mental health care system, not too much the police system, but they want to warehouse people in mental conditions where you can walk out any time, but you don't have any rights on the inside. I don't know what the deal is. They say Hawaii is unfriendly to business, so what chance does anything else have here? And I think homelessness is a scapegoat for soullessness that's advancing.
Okay.
I don't know what else to add to the conversation except that when you get into a place like take a housing voucher to somebody, then you get a slumlord who's all too willing to kick you out and destroy your program because they want to keep everything, charge you for damages they never repaired. It just goes on and on. If that lawyer would represent me against landlords like that, I hope I got evidentiary, but it just doesn't stop. And I want to get out of this state, and I'm only back for another year because I couldn't engage Section 8 in Washington State.
Mm-hmm.
I got by the skin of my teeth, but they don't know what preparation of an apartment is. They don't know what repair is. Everybody's actually serving the money and running and hiding. And the line items the guy mentioned about, this is your big free-for-all. It
yep.
doesn't matter. The system's going to continue to prevail, but it's supposed to be the individual that the system upholds.
Yeah, well, okay. Well, thank you.
Thank you.
Go ahead, Brian.
One thing I'd like to say about the issue with the shelters as well is even for the people that's maybe a viable option for, and these numbers are not exact, but there's somewhere in the neighborhood of 10,000 homeless people on this island, and there's somewhere in the neighborhood of 800 beds. So, I mean, it doesn't take a PhD in mathematics to know that there's simply not enough shelter space for the existing homeless population. Moreover, I've heard many horror stories about theft, violence, rape, etc., taking place in the shelters, and a number of the homeless people that I've spoken with feel a lot safer on the street, surrounded by a self-selected group of people who they know have their back and are there to protect them, rather than going into a shelter where they don't know who their neighbor is going to be.
You, when your husband passed,
mm-hmm.
did you find yourself there on the street alone at any time, a length of time? And what was your experience? Did you have any experience with people assaulting you, attacking you, or anything? Or what was it like?
It was scary. Here I am, a woman all by myself, and because of they'd taken all my things, I didn't have anything and had to start over again. It was scary. I didn't know what to do. I didn't know where to go, what to do, you know, and that's mm-hmm. when I started the process of trying to go to all these agencies and see if somebody can help me. It ended up, he was a veteran, so I went to the veterans and I do get a little bit of monthly money from mm-hmm. the veterans, but it's hard.
Mm-hmm.
It's really, really hard. I went through a couple situations where I almost got raped in the bathrooms in Kakako. There was a guy waiting in there. It seems like they attack the like women by themselves because, you know, they can pretty much take my things out. What am I going to do about it?
Yeah.
You know,
mm-hmm.
but, yeah.
Wow.
Well,
go ahead.
Oh, I'm glad I'm still on the air. Yeah, I like the hearing about Utah, that they have case managers and other programs that take this mission responsibly. I think it's time for people to do simple things and help be sure that each individual remains sovereign, that the community of people that they address are the healthy, the wealthy, and the wise, and help the helpless or the hurt. And we just got to move on and make it so. Talk about things that can happen and forget wasting time about what didn't happen. And then if the things that we want, that we're paying for laws and we're paying for taxes aren't happening, it's time to clean house like a car dealership.
Yeah. Okay. Well, thank you.
Am I still on here?
Go ahead real quick.
I'd like to comment about the woman who was nearly raped. Yes, single woman. I'm an outsider. I'm not local. Who am I going to call? The cops? I mean, really? To have a man fondling himself in front of, the front of my Jeep because he's all messed up. To have a man approach me with his penis hanging out. Who am I supposed to call? If I protected myself the way I needed to, guess who goes away in handcuffs? Because the way I was heavy
handed.
Yeah, see? I mean, really?
Okay.
What do we? I don't do meth. I don't do drugs. I'm not on any public program, not federal nor state. Mm-hmm. Yet I get people walking past me, looking down their nose at me like I'm some stinking eyesore that caused my own situation. If I could get Brian to listen to me, because this was a conspiracy to commit fraud.
Okay.
They saw they screwed up, and they did what they did to me to cover themselves.
Well, you got his phone number now. Call him up.
Yes, Rule 48. They dragged it out for a year.
Okay, Denise.
To hold back on okay. the statutory.
Well, you got his phone number, right?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes, they
do. Give him a call, and we don't want to rob others of time.
Well, make sure that everybody knows that they are our public servants. Yeah. Remember that the next time they approach you. Yeah. You work for me. Okay. I don't work for you.
And well, crime does.
Okay. All righty. Well, thank you, guys.
Bye, guys.
All right.
Thank
bye.
You.
Go ahead, Brian.
Oh, you know, I mean, I just think that every time, you know, we make some progress in the lawsuits that we have, a new law comes out that is even more egregious and awful than the previous one. This mm-hmm. new law in Waikiki, they're calling it the sit and lie law, I guess, which, you know, they're supposed to, as it's written now, give a warning and say, basically, disperse. And if you fail to disperse, they can charge you with a misdemeanor for it.
this has not yet passed the city council, but it's being talked about. And my great fear with that is that, as with the two laws that are already on the books, that they're just not going to follow their own rules. They're not going to give the notice to disperse prior to charging people with these misdemeanors.
I'm glad you mentioned that, because just the other day I was reading the paper and I saw the sewer rates are going to go up. You see, let me tell you something. Kurt Caldwell, no, he is as slick as they come. He's always behind the curtain. He's learned to be the puppet master. And what a wonderful thing. How does one mayor have so much damn time on his hand to every day, it seems, he's writing a new law, introducing a new law about homelessness. But he's not being taken to task about the sewer rates, about the streets, about the crime, nothing. Absolutely nothing.
It's
a ruse. And this slickwick is doing it, and he knows it. You see, I read that PRP piece with the, and it says, well, he's just a beneficiary of that. This dude has assembled a team of slicksters that they're giving it to us left and right. I mean, we're paying higher fees on sewer, the car, you register a car now, higher fees. And then those little hush puppies over there in the city council eating out of his hands, they're the ones who's also confirming the laws, writing them and passing them. You understand,
yes.
Licking his hand as if he's some king. But again, they're adverse to him when it comes public. You know, oh, well, we're different. But he seems to get every law that he wants. There's some dysfunctional family there in that city council and that mayor. There's something wrong.
I agree with you completely.
Period. You know, they don't observe the Constitution, they being the city council. I don't even think they would know what the First Amendment is or anything, honestly, half of them over there, because they're so conflicted. You look in the background, Cachola just admitting he's going to settle out. No, take everything away from stealing from the people and put his ass out on the street and see how he likes it. Don't send him to jail. Just give him Kaka'ako. Give him in the government operations zone. You know, I'm serious. Just give him that ordeal. Don't bother to send him to jail. Don't make him pay back any money. Just tell him, we're going to consign you to you down here. We're going to put you down there for in the government operations zone.
I would encourage everybody who's listening today, next time you're in front of a computer, go to YouTube and look up Honolulu Homeless Raid. And just watch a couple of these videos. Some of them are 5 minutes, some of them are 40 minutes. But see what the real face of these raids look like. Because until you actually see these things take place, it's really hard to fathom how awful it is. I mean, it's truly, truly despicable. It's Gestapo tactics.
Yeah.
Besides not ever being able to really have a full night's sleep, I get up a million times a night because I hear trucks, you know, going by.
Yeah.
And it's the trucks that come in the raid, you know. So I keep thinking, oh, maybe they're coming now, you know. And I run out and look down the street to see if I see the trucks coming. And that goes on all night long, every 7 days a week.
Mm-hmm.
Yep.
Caller, good morning. If you could, keep the background noise down. You got a comment, a question? Caller, go ahead. You have a comment, a question?
Yes. Thank you for taking my call. First of all, the council, when I hear the word shame, they're unconscionable. And as far as the city council is concerned, it's a revolving door. Cachola, Dela Cruz, go up. Menor, Manahan, Fukunaga, Pine, come down. The solution is educate the public, which you are. Two, assemble the public. And then three, to act. You must have the media with you, because the public is kept ignorant. And once upon a time, you asked me if I had a solution. The solution to this and other problems I won't mention, first of all, federal, however, do they control the federal judge? And if you look at the rail, I'll stop there. Second, it's up to the people, and the people are going to assemble, but if they aren't educated, they do not know about which they want to assemble, and then you act. It is, for me personally, it is now the time to act, to do something. I was in San Francisco when they changed the civil rights in San Francisco and at Cal Berkeley, etc. and that changed the laws. The laws were not on their side. It was the people who acted and rebelled. It's time for rebellion. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
And I think that people really do need to open their eyes to this issue, because I think that too many people drive by in their fancy cars and look at the people on the side of the road and don't see a person there. And I think that's one of the great things about what Jeff Davis is doing. It's relatively easy to ignore a single adult sitting by the side of the road. It's a lot harder to ignore that the face of that six-year-old kid. Not that the problem should only be focused on children, because it's a much broader problem than that, but to make these people human beings, which they are, rather than a piece of furniture on the side of the road. And I think that everyone's just got to open their hearts a little bit and recognize the humanity that's out there and not to dehumanize these individuals.
Caller, good morning. Thanks for calling. Any comment or question?
No, this is Jason.
Yeah, Jason.
Just still listening, waiting for you.
What was that again? You're coming in kind of muffled.
I was on your station with you. I just got cut off, so I called back in.
Oh, okay. All right. Hold on. Caller, good morning. You have a comment or question?
Is that me? Okay. You know, didn't the city council pass a resolution or something authorizing an additional $350,000 for police overtime to reinforce the routing of the homeless?
I'm not sure the exact numbers, but that number sounds approximately right to me, but I know that there's been several waves of additional funding, not just for the police department, but also for DFM, who enforces the sidewalk nuisance and store property ordinances, as well as the parks department. I don't know off the top of my head exactly what those numbers are, but you are absolutely right that they have allocated additional money.
Don't you think that $350,000 or whatever can go direct to where the problem is, to the homeless? I mean, you know, that's what it's for.
That would make some sense to me.
And what they're doing in all of this routing of the people, isn't it like a cruel and unusual punishment? And they haven't even been convicted of anything, you know?
I think it is cruel and unusual punishment. It's not constitutionally cruel and unusual punishment, but it's certainly morally cruel and unusual punishment.
And, you know, like, where do these people get water from? You know, that's what Jeff Davis was saying when he was out there. They don't have the money to buy water. I mean, you got to go to a store and pick up a bottle of water, you know?
Or walk a significant distance to, you know, a drinking fountain or a public restroom or...
By the time they come back, this stuff is, you know, gone, right?
Right.
This whole thing is some type of a charade or something.
It is, to distract you.
Right. You know, why don't they have an assessment on these developers? And, like, charge them a 1% homeless assessment for developers and make it into a homeless fund. What do you think about that?
I think that's a great idea. I mean,
you know,
with all of the development that's going on.
These people from Singapore paying $15 million for one apartment? Yeah. You know, wow. You know, charge them a 1% assessment fund.
Well, that would be plausible because we, the local taxpayer here, are paying for it. The money isn't just coming out of thin air.
Right.
You know, so we're being taxed for that, then having to see these monsters come up every morning to tell us about a new law. You know, I mean,
another one, you know, another you know, don't sleep on the sidewalk law, but you know, no, you're a tourist in front of Sheraton, you're allowed to sleep on the beach.
Oh yeah.
Right. Hey, okay, are they going to charge them with a nuisance for sleeping on the beach?
That's a great point.
But if you're homeless on the sidewalk, okay, well, you're going to be charged.
We'll call this the greening of America now. It used to be the whitening of America or whatever. Now it's and then they say it was turning brown, and now we're seeing what it is. It's the greening of America. Based on the green. All right. Well, thank you, caller.
Yeah.
All right.
Okay, thank you.
Caller, good morning. Real quick, you have a comment or question?
Hello, this is Denise again. I just want to say that the programs that are supposed to give people one-way tickets back home, unfunded. I tried that one, too. I don't want to live in Hawaii. I'm out here on Kaina Point. I do it to stay away as far away from the cops as I possibly can.
Okay.
They're the ones that robbed me. When they robbed me, they robbed me of a home.
Okay.
I had the money to buy a house on the mainland, and they stole that from me.
Denise, okay, thank you. Okay. All right. Thank you. Go ahead, caller. Real quick, we got about 5 seconds here on this. Okay. Go ahead, Brian.
I think that we've just got to work towards something along the lines of what Utah has done. Because a lot of these people who are out there are and could be very high-functioning members of society, could hold down a good job, could be productive, taxpaying members of our society. If we just gave them that one little leg up, that one little leg to get the sort of the ball rolling, and that seems to be what's happened in Utah. Their tax base has increased because they've got these people into functional living and working situations. It only makes sense to have the highest percentage of our population as possible being contributing viable members of our society and not totally marginalized.
So can you come back on another occasion and talk about these things, as the issues? It's just not about homelessness. It's about civil rights. It's about constitutional rights. It's a way we look through the back door, the back window of government and its functionality. No government is perfect, but these folks are paving a perfect road to... I'm lost. They don't have to show accountability for their other decisions that they're making in government. That's scary. And we're stuck with this issue of homelessness when there are many bigger issues that speak to their failings and shortcomings of management.
I mean, there's the revolutionary line from the American Revolution, we the people of the United States, in order to form a more perfect union, as you said, we're never going to be perfect.
Yeah.
We always need to strive to be more perfect, not less perfect.
But when they're orchestrating purposely, I love this thing, the revelations with PRP, and that tells it all, that there are people in the back room cooking up law, cooking up lies, cooking up fallacies, and then serving them to us. And the taxpayer, the ones with the money.
Force feeding us.
Yeah, the ones with the money going, well, you know, just get the bomb off the street. No, it's okay. The bombs, as you call them, are not going anywhere because Governor Kirk Caldwell, he wants to be governor, a supreme ruler, is actually don't realize that he can create all the laws in the world. He can take all the goods. What we will see is a bunch of people there that are homeless and naked, exposing themselves. And then he'll go and write a letter that you can't be naked in public. That's what it's coming out.
Yeah.
So thank you guys and I appreciate it, Brian. We'll do another talk, and thank you
so much. Thank you for the opportunity.
Hey, guys, thank you for joining in, and we'll see you next week. Aloha,
right.
And thank you.
Some calls from the request line. Caller number one.
Hey, man, what's up? This is Dominique from Shady No Trailer Park.
What's up, Dominique?
I'm with that song from Lil Jon and Pete Pablo.
All right, I got that coming right up for you. All right,
now,
shout out to the radio station that gave you what you wanted.
W Boom Boom B, baby.
What you doing
from the front?
What you doing
from the back?
This has been the Carol Cox Show, heard every Sundays at 9 a.m. on K108. Tune in again next week, Sunday at 9 a.m. to the Carol Cox Show on 1080 a.m. KWAI Honolulu.